This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. It's not often you hear of an aspiring musician being encouraged to give up the day job, you know, the one that pays the bills, and plunge headfirst into a musical career. But Ann Arbor-based singer-songwriter Mike Vial got that sort of a wedding gift from his wife, Natalie Berg. She told him she would not marry him unless he quit his job as a teacher to follow his musical dreams. Well, that was 5 years ago. Since then, Mike has played hundreds of gigs across the U.S. and Canada. And now he's out with his fourth release, A World That's Bigger. The musician, Mike Vial, he recently spoke with Stateside's Cynthia Canty.
Welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Talk about a vote of confidence when I think how many other artists have heard the flip side of that coin, like, okay, I'll marry you if you settle down and get that paying job.
Right, right. And it's not an easy decision to make to leave a job to be a full-time artist. And there's no right or wrong answer in paving that way as an artist. I don't think anybody needs to do that choice if it doesn't feel right.
It has to feel right. I know you were teaching English and Language Arts at Holly High School.
South of Flint.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not music.
No, I didn't teach music. I like this aspect of the failure. When I was in high school, I tried out at the music programs at colleges across the state. All the rejection letters came on the same day, which was a really good failure as a senior because I would have been a very shy, like not able to relate to an audience. I would have just been playing guitar. And what teaching has done for me is to meet a lot of great voices. And the classroom has always still been my audience in my mind because I played for my students at least once a semester. We would read Romeo and Juliet every year. I taught 8 years of freshman English. So Romeo and Juliet was a staple in the curriculum. And before we would read that first monologue, two star-crossed lovers take their life, doth with their death, bear their parents' strife, I would like play a song that I had written about love in college and leaving that person that you first fall in love with. And, you know, the students would relate to those early stories.
So you got to cut your teeth, in a sense, as a performer in front of your students.
I did.
And we know that's a tough crowd.
It is, but it's a great crowd. And people ask me, oh, well, it must have been the students that was hard. And that wasn't why I had to leave the job. I was really exhausted from trying to just keep up with the grading and the planning. 156 students, 5 minutes an essay, you know, like the hours would add up. And I was trying to play some gigs on the side and write songs. And
music is calling you.
It called me.
And I'm curious, what has the freedom to just make music? What has that done to the way you write and record and approach your music? So the day job is gone. No more grading, no more any lesson plans. Focusing on music, what has that done to your music?
At first, it was very freeing, and you had the Sprague family on once talking about their careers as musicians, and when I heard that one, that really related to me because I would grow up watching them in college play at the bars, and the grind is very difficult. And I've played over 1,000 gigs now, and it's been from everywhere from the Arc to before Ben Folds Five at Common Grounds Music Festival to that corner bar where no one's paying attention. So writing has actually gotten more difficult in some form, because I'm always worried about the financial aspect as well as the balance with the family now. But that has improved my writing in the sense that I'm getting more, what I would consider more real songs and more real themes that are covering a lot deeper topics. And my writing has improved a lot. So I'm just really happy where I am as a writer, and it's kind of coming through on the strength of the record, I can say that.
Let's give everybody an idea of what we're talking about, and let's all take a listen to the title track, A World That's Bigger. And this was inspired by the birth of your daughter?
It is.
What was going on in your mind?
It's the first song I wrote as a dad, and she was sleeping in the bouncer at the kitchen. And there's a photo my wife took of me in my robe, and Ginny sleeping there, and she could sleep through the songs. And we live in Dixboro. There's that one-room schoolhouse and a beautiful little church, and I had accidentally looked up how expensive college may cost Ginny if she so chooses that route in 17 years or more. And it was like half the mortgage of the house. So I had to write a song to calm my nerves. And that is a song that really appeared. And it's a song that I wrote from straight to end, you know, with very little editing. The first lines are what became the first verse. And we now walk Ginny down that road or pull her down in the wagon. And we pass that baseball field in the song. And it's my favorite song on the record, and my mom's. She's got a biased opinion, but.
Well, here it is, the title track from his newest release from Mike Vial, A World That's Bigger.
We don't know
big the world will be when we take it slowly down the road to the baseball field by the one-room schoolhouse with the pain that's built and the church won't share. The answers to the secrets in our prayers for you, sing them out, sing them strong, beat our doubts, by helping you belong to a world that's bigger than you and me, a world that's bigger for endlessly. The world that's bigger than the length of the sea. The world that's bigger than you and me in love.
Mike, tell us how you recorded this album. This was kind of an interesting, let's get away from it all.
It is. It also was getting away from the fear of having to do a record the way everyone tells you you have to do a record. What I did, my friend Mike Gentry, we were driving out to the Acorn Theater one day for a gig. We had a long drive together, and he just said, Mike, let's just finish your record. We had faced a lot of challenges with the house that was really putting off getting the record done because of the expenses and with a roof problem and leaking water everywhere. So he said, we can get this record done. I know you have it in you. And I just wanted to do the record live, like a classic Nick Drake record. Just me on guitar singing and playing at the same time. We didn't Justin Bieber this record. There's no editing. There's no overdubs. There's some production, but very minor. I mean, it's a very real record like you would picture the Beatles doing at the very beginning of their career. They're all standing around microphones and playing at the same time. So we went to a cabin in northern Michigan, a family cabin, and for 3 days just camped out. And I just did 150 takes. We picked the best 10, and then the record was done. The reason that felt correct is because I've put out quite a few releases, and I've always done it since my first EP with professional and really talented producers, but it was very separate your head from your feet and head from your hands. So like you would do the guitar track, and then you watch the drummer, you'd watch the bass player. Then I'd come in and do like 30 takes of vocals and split it up, and it never was feeling right.
You wanted to feel like if you were standing in front of that audience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't teach that way, and it just my experience is playing for people. So this record had to get done this way, and it's a very personal record about family, loss, Ginny's birth, following dreams, and miscarriage. So the only way to really do it was live, because I have a high standard for an honest song. So I might have written over 100 songs, but I've only put out 28 because, yeah, you know, it's hard to really believe in them at times, and you got to test them out on the road.
I'm talking with Ann Arbor-based singer-songwriter Mike Vile, out with his fourth release, A World That's Bigger. And I know your uncle is the late State Senator David Plawecki, who served in the Senate from 1970 to 1982. In fact, we should note, he is the one who authored Michigan's Open Meetings Act, which was a huge step towards government transparency. And he died in 2013. Talk about this song, Burning Bright. It's on the album. It's inspired by him.
And just a quick note, it's confusing when you come from a big Polish family because everybody's your cousin and everybody's your uncle. But David is my mom's first cousin, and we grew up down the street from them, all went to Divine Child in Dearborn. I started playing guitar when his son Kirk also started playing guitar, and first bass player in my band, Alan Black, they had found a guitar that the family had I think, played in college in the closet, and we all kind of found music and the Beatles books at David's house. David's dying wish, which was covered in the news, he didn't really want his passing to be about his political service, even though his political service touched a lot of us. He wanted it to be about faith and family. So that surprise gift that he gave to everybody, the secret that he had that his sons had to carry out at the VFW hall. In my Polish family, we eat through our feelings. I definitely do. So we're stacking up the pierogies and the galonkis on the plates to the ceiling and sit down to have dinner at that memorial dinner, and then his sons take the microphone and said, our dad had this surprise, this dying wish, and these envelopes just start getting passed out like it's Christmas, you know? And we open it up, and there's $100 he gave to all his friends and family. But that note inside said, I wanted you to be a Christian angel and give that $100 to someone in need. What was amazing for me was it brought the family together during the holidays one more time, because you ended up calling somebody and say, what'd you do with David's $100? Who'd you give it to? you know, my wife gave it to somebody in need that had somebody died suddenly in the family. And
what'd you do with yours?
I broke it up into two gifts, and somebody that I know really well, his brother got killed, and I gave part of it to them, and then the other $50 I gave away, and I don't really want to say what I did with it, if that's okay. But it was a gift that I wouldn't have been able to give while finances were tough. It was such a gift in multiple ways.
Well, the song is Burning Bright. Let's take a listen.
A life strange outside, promises tomorrow. It were a thread of gold cut without sorrow. If there's only one star I see up in the sky, lonely night, I think of you, burning bright.
Mike, what do you hope your audiences get from hearing your songs?
The teacher in me wants them to know they should be an artist. There's a myth that you can't be an artist, or that it's a special calling for only some. And I don't believe that. I think everybody, when you're a kid, if you ask a child to sing, they all sing, right? Any kid, even my toddler, starting to color with crayons.
And lines don't matter.
They don't. And it doesn't mean we're all going to necessarily make a living from it, but I think art really activates our brains in wonderful ways. I also hope my songwriting will lead people to kind of push beyond the needs for pop music, even though I love pop music. This is a challenging record, and it's a record that was done live. So there's some imperfections as you hear Ringo miss that beat on the
right
drums on some of those early takes that we enjoyed. I performed really well, if I can pat myself on the back, but there's some flubs in there, which I also hope encourages people to not feel like they have to be perfect.
Well, Mike Vile will be hitting the road for a 10-city tour in October and November to support this fourth release, A World That's Bigger. A couple of the dates include Saturday, October 29th at the Arc in Ann Arbor, and Sunday, October 30th at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks. You can get the full schedule on the tour by going to MikeVile.com, and that's V-I-A-L, MikeVile.com. So I'm going to ask if you'll take us out with this happy love song. It just made me very, very happy. I Just Want to Be Your Last. Tell us a little about that song.
It's a song that actually I've been referencing the Beatles, so here we are. I mean, I'm borrowing a songwriting technique where you go from the major four to the minor four in the bridge. Musicians can listen for that on the record. But it's about falling in love with someone a little different than you. The yin and the yang sometimes works out well.
Mike Vile, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
If sugar goes well with coffee, like the day mixes with night, I might be a little different than you, but we go together right. Treat me quite better than I've been treated before. I don't want to sound trite, I just know that I know for sure. We all live with regrets, we shouldn't care about the past. I don't need to be your first love, I just want to be your last. Just wanna be your last. You said you had to kiss a few frogs before your prince appeared. Well, I've been waiting for you like the sun waits for clouds to clear. It's been raining for what feels like years. And the whole time you were always near to me, but that's how it goes when we all live. Shouldn't care about the past. I don't need to be your first love, I just wanna be your.